meddling with maths. Its trickiest application, as we know every day, is to the weather. Here's Sophie Calabretto with Chaos.
Imagine that you're looking at a pendulum, a simple rod attached to a frictionless pivot, allowed to swing back and forth. You lift the tip of the pendulum and let it go. As you watch it swing, you know that you'll always be able to predict the behaviour of the pendulum. This is because we can write down a straightforward equation that captures the physics of the pendulum system, and we can solve it. For any time in the future, we know exactly where the pendulum is going to be. Now, imagine instead that there is another rod attached to the end of your pendulum. This second rod can pivot around the end of the first rod. Your pendulum now looks a little like an arm, with a shoulder and an elbow. This time, when you let the pendulum go, havoc ensues. Your pendulum no longer swings back and forth in a well-behaved manner. The extra rod can rotate freely, pulling the first rod with it in all directions. The movement looks completely erratic. If you let your new pendulum go from exactly the same place, it will trace the same crazy path, but it has to be exactly the same. This is because your double pendulum is deterministic. There is no randomness to the way it moves. Now, you let your pendulum go again, changing the initial position by just a fraction. You watch the pattern that the arms make. They're completely different this time. It doesn't resemble the previous behaviour of the pendulum at all. This is an example of chaos. A small change initially can lead to huge, unpredictable changes in the future. And chaos appears surprisingly often in nature, and that can be a bit of a problem when it comes to predicting weather. So, how do meteorologists do it? Dr. David Wilkie is an applied mathematician and weather forecaster at the Bureau of Meteorology, and as he explains, it turns out that as in so many things, mathematics is at the centre.
The simple way to think about it is you're trying to solve these really complex equations across the entire surface of the Earth and through the atmosphere, and so that results in a really large number of computations, could be in the order of billions, in order to get some understanding of how the weather's going to evolve into the future.
What does it mean for weather to be a chaotic system?
So it's this idea that if you have a system, it's starting under certain conditions, and then you change those conditions slightly, it can drastically affect the behaviour of the system later on.
So these tiny, tiny changes in the initial conditions lead to these huge changes in the outcome.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And so is that where that saying, you know, if a butterfly flaps its wings over somewhere, then there will be a cyclone somewhere else? Is that pretty much
Yeah, that's exactly where that comes from, yeah.
How, as a meteorologist, do you actually go about predicting the weather then, if there's all this sort of uncertainty in the system?
You can try to get some idea of how susceptible a certain situation might be to chaos by basically just perturbing this initial state. So if you're finding that it's changing not so much, then you look at that and say, well, this is quite a stable, probably well-predicted pattern, and maybe we have a bit more confidence that we can say that it will be partly cloudy or whatever we want to say it's going to be. But if we're seeing that there's significant variation, so say we get something like gale force winds, a cyclone passing through, that sort of thing, then it gives us some idea that maybe it's not so reliable.
So David, what kind of weather events are easier for us to predict, and what kind of events would be harder?
Generally, larger scale weather events are easier to predict. Something like a big, strong, high pressure system. So they bring usually quite stable weather, and typically fluctuations in a high pressure system don't really cause a lot of change. So in that sense, forecasting something like a partly cloudy day or something that's just sort of a nice day with not a lot of rainfall might be a little bit on the easier side of things. When we're talking about smaller scale features, atmospheric phenomena that occur over smaller spatial scales, that's when it gets quite difficult. The things that form over shorter timescales.
So as a whole, have we got better at predicting the weather?
Yeah, we definitely have. There's a few reasons for that. So one is that computation power has improved dramatically over the last, 30 years or so. That means the sort of spatial resolution can be reduced, and you can get more of these sort of topographic effects, so the effects of mountains and that kind of thing.
And finer detail in your model.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Which, say, even 10 years ago would have been very computationally expensive and taken a very long time to run. Now those computations can be done in a much shorter amount of time. And then there's also this sort of understanding of the physics has improved over the last 30 years.
So, David, if maths is at the centre of all weather prediction, and we know maths is very objective, right? There's always a solution. Then why do we sometimes get weather predictions wrong?
Now, that comes back to this idea of the chaos in the weather. We can have very good weather models that capture the physics of the atmosphere and the way that it behaves and should evolve into the future. But because of that sensitivity to the initial conditions, we can get quite different outcomes happening, which can result in substantially different weather patterns, even despite otherwise identical initial conditions. Because it's such a complex system and it's such a complex feedback between the oceans and the atmosphere, it's not possible right now to say with absolute certainty that it's going to rain tomorrow.
So how long into the future can we actually predict the weather? Because people see online there are these 10-day forecasts. Is there any reason to pay attention to a prediction for 10 days' time?
Yeah, so generally the accuracy of weather forecasts are usually pretty good for the next few days, especially over the next day or two. Outside of that, and up to about 2 weeks, it can get pretty dicey. So at this stage, it's not really possible to say anything concrete about the weather beyond a week or two. And really, the most accurate you're going to get is sort of within that first 6 days.
Weather. Surprisingly difficult to predict, but not impossible. And best done within 6 days. I was speaking with Dr. David Wilkie from the Bureau of Meteorology.
And Sophie Calabretto does maths at Macquarie University in Sydney.